Good morning, people.
Good morning.
Now, the last time I was up here, there was a fire drill. So, apparently I'm responsible for guiding you. So, if there is an alarm that goes off, we're not expecting a drill today. But could you leave via that door or the back door, please? So, now you know. Okay. Well, we're looking at this series, What's the Point? What is the point? Just checking my time. What's the point of knowing our location? What's the point of knowing our location? Well, I have this story for you, which has been around a little while, actually. But I thought it was still good and relevant, maybe. It's a story about a confrontation that takes place at sea. It's between a US Navy aircraft carrier and the Canadian authorities off the coast of Newfoundland in October 1995. The radio conversation went like this. Canadians, please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision. Americans, recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision. Canadians, negative. You will have to divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. Americans, this is the captain of a US Navy ship. I say again, divert your course. Canadians, no, I say again, you divert your course. Americans, this is the aircraft carrier, USS Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We are accompanied by 3 destroyers, 3 cruisers, and numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north. I say 15 degrees north. Or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship. Canadians, this is a lighthouse. Your call. I always enjoy that, even though it has been going round a time. And I'm not even sure it's true. It's a good story, though, isn't it? But it does help us perhaps think about our own position. Where do we stand? Who are we dealing with? And how are we communicating? And as we consider this question, what's the point of knowing our location? I thought it'd be good perhaps to think about our position. Our position, each and every one of us. The place that we're in. And the third thing was, I've gone with P's, 3 P's. Position, place, and passing it on. How do we pass it on? How do we communicate? So the Bible setting for this, the Bible setting is, I've used the scriptures from the book of Acts, which is basically in sort of 2 halves. The first 12 chapters deal mostly with the activities of the Apostle Peter. The whole of Acts starts with the pouring out of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And although the Apostle Paul, his conversion takes place in that first part, most of Paul's work as an apostle is to be found in chapters 13 to 28. And the reading is from within that. Paul had 3 missionary journeys around what we recognize as sort of Israel, Syria, Turkey. That was his first. And then it extended into Greece. For the missionary journeys 2 and 3. And this is in Athens, is obviously part of the second missionary journey. So that's the Bible setting. What about Paul's position then? His position. Well, Paul was a Pharisee, a very learned man, but he was transformed by Jesus from a persecutor of Christians to an apostle and preacher for Christ. He changed his position. He moved, if you like, from one side of the screen to the other, from the left to the right. And that has to be our starting place. Have we changed from one place to the other, personally, individually, each and every single one of us? Paul actually penned most of the verses that we use when we're sharing the gospel. Such was his encounter and such was his guidance from God. Romans 3 says this, 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6, 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The second half of Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have you changed your position? I imagine you have. I imagine you have, but have you? We need to have this sink deep within us, sink deep into our understanding, into our whole being. Are you standing firmly upon Christ? Any number of things can happen in our lives, can't they? That will seek to undermine our faith in the gospel. So where do you stand today? Where do you stand? Are you a saint or a sinner? We always associate sainthood as being a good person, but actually it's your position to God. Saints are on the right, they've moved across. It's simply stating your position with God. You still sin. We still sin. Sinners are unbelievers, saints are believers. It's that simple, according to the Bible. And it is only out of this position that we can singularly or together share the gospel. Athens. Athens was the place Paul shared. Athens, with its magnificent buildings and many gods, with a small g, was a centre for Greek culture, philosophy and education. When Paul visited, he was able to speak into their situation. He ended up there because the Jewish protests had stopped his preaching in Thessalonica and Berea, as many had come to know the Lord Jesus. He was driven out, and he was in this place now, but he engaged with the people in that place. There's a picture there of Athens, perhaps a more modern picture, but nevertheless, it's still a place people will visit. A place where people speak. But what about us? What about Eastleigh? Does Eastleigh look anything like that? Well, I couldn't resist. There was something on the internet which showed about some marvellous temples or places of worship. Tourist attractions, if you like. On the left there, I don't know how easily you can make that out, is the Chapel of Saint Michel. I can't pronounce this. It's in southern France. It's on a volcanic plug, 280 feet tall. Sorry, I don't think there is a lift. It's 268 steps climbing. You have to climb 268 steps carved into the rock to get to it. On the right-hand side is a hanging temple built into the side of a cliff near Mount Heng in Shanghai province, China, in 491. They definitely don't make them like they used to. Eastleigh is not a tourist attraction, I don't think. Well, maybe it is, I don't know. And whilst it's good to recognise that, equally I think there's the other side of the spectrum. We enjoy freedoms, unlike Pakistan, where a Christian woman, Asia Bibi, has spent 8 years on death row after allegedly blaspheming Muhammad and now faces a life in hiding and constant threat from hardline Islamists. We don't experience that in Eastleigh, I don't think. It's good to reflect on where we are. So what is our place, our position on the map? Where are we as Eastleigh? Well, from the church profile, it says Eastleigh is a thriving town midway between Southampton and Winchester, just off the M3 and M27 motorways, with a close to the Southampton airport. The church occupies a prominent position to the edge of, on the edge of town, adjacent to the Swan Shopping Centre. The Swan Centre includes a supermarket, a range of small and large shops, a leisure complex, cinema, bowling, play area, restaurants and a car park. About Eastleigh itself, it says Eastleigh Borough population is about 125,000, according to the 2011 census. When we're talking about the borough, we're actually talking about the purple, green, red, orange and blue. It's enormous. But I suggest we're probably considering just the green area, which is the town centre. Obviously, some of you come from further afield. But where, that's one of our questions, where is our mission field? There's been, as well you know, massive increase in Eastleigh. and around with the housing that's taken place in Twyford Road, Pirelli's, Lakeside, Toynbee Road, and now they're building houses even more at Chestnut Avenue. We're definitely on the map. But what is our place and location? Some wonderful places to look at, some wonderful scenes, but Emma Coulton apparently decided to pay a visit to see for herself this Eastleigh, because Eastleigh, a man born and bred, her neighbour, regularly referred to his hometown as Beastly Eastleigh. I have heard it said myself, but she did find that actually this town, historically and architecturally, Victorian, born out of a Victorian railway, times had changed. Eastleigh had undergone a metamorphosis, as she put it. It was now prospering, even house prices exceeding neighbours, Winchester and Southampton. And she said, well, obviously it's not just about the money, but those living here, was her experience, this was last year she did this article, those living here comment that Eastleigh has pretty much everything you need and a nice sense of community. That's worth a lot. What about the people of Eastleigh? Well, there's not a lot to say, really, other than that generally the people of Eastleigh are ordinary, everyday people. You get the one or two, perhaps, that are well-heeled, a few quid in their pocket, more than others. But for the most part, we're just ordinary people. There are one or two, likewise, that are homeless. But for most of us, we don't have to struggle with that. That's not to say we ignore those people, clearly. We're a mix of backgrounds and cultures. We've got quite a few Essex refugees, I think. We came from Essex, Joanne and myself, so we're perhaps in that category. But the good news is, actually, Eastleigh is full of people just like you and me. We're not extraordinary, but we're still special before God. So what about EBC Church, then? What about EBC Church? Well, I know Toby did history, but I couldn't help but notice this in the National Archives. It's an entry that you can find online about our history. In September 1886, the attention of the Baptist Church in Southampton was drawn to the spiritual wants of Eastleigh. In view of the prospective transfer to Eastleigh of workmen from the London and South West Railway Company, it was felt a Baptist cause should be established in Eastleigh. No meeting room was available until July 1887, when the hall of the Winchester Soldiers Mission became available and transferred to the Baptists. In 1896, a chapel, now the hall, was built on the present Desborough Road site. With the increasing population in Eastleigh, a new church was built, in which we now stand. The church has continued to flourish and prosper. So we're actually a church plant from Southampton. Possibly. That could be an interpretation. Is that something perhaps we should consider? With all these new housing estates going up, church planting, is that something that we might be called to? I don't know. I'm not saying it is. But maybe it's something we should consider. Passing it on. What sort of church are we? What is our language? If you go to France, you'd probably expect to speak maybe a little French. Parlez-vous français?
Oui.
Very good. Je ne comprends pas. I don't understand. There's so many things I don't understand. Facebook is one of them. These are extra little reactions, they call them. Like it, love, ha-ha, wow, crying, angry. I miscommunicated one of those to a person recently, and they showed their dismay. So communication, certainly via the internet and via Facebook, is not a strong point of mine. Do we do communication via the internet, just posting stuff on Facebook? Well, of course not. It is a tool, though, isn't it, available to us? The digital world is definitely one of those tools. And it's been amazing, actually, to see how creative people from this church have been in utilising and connecting and communicating with people using that tool. As I say, I'm not very good at that myself. Paul, obviously, the Apostle Paul, didn't have a mobile or email. He simply went out and spoke to people in the synagogue and the marketplace. And there are different ways, obviously, for us to communicate. God has communicated with us, has he not? And even gives us different translations of the Bible so we can better understand his word. Communication, then. Communication. How do we communicate the good news of the gospel in this place? Are we a lighthouse or a warship? Are we a lighthouse or a warship? Both can be used to save people, but one is stationary and the other active. Jesus wants to set us free. He says, "You know the truth, and the truth will set you free." But how do we communicate that? Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I recognized this recently. Note, the gates are a defensive measure. That means we have been called to attack the powers of hell. Obviously, our language must not be one of superiority or arrogance or the "I'm right, you're wrong" mentality. We need to treat people with gentleness and respect. But Jesus says, go. Jesus says, go. The Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. And I believe we need to be both lighthouse, a place of refuge, sanctuary, holiness, praise, but also a warship that goes out into the world and engages with the enemy, that breaks down the gates of hell, that imprison people and gives them false hope, temporary pleasures, and a senseless life without the true love of God and his people. So what are our regular activities, our regular means of communicating? We have an amazing array, and this is just a sampling of some of the things we're involved in. We've got, obviously, our Sunday morning services, Girls Brigade through the week, Basics Bank, CAP, Street Pastors, Wells Place Coffee Shop, Friends Interfaith, ARC, Come to the Well, and many others besides. With the exception maybe of Street Pastors, perhaps, these tend to be our lighthouse activities that are essentially invitational. They definitely have their place, and we should continue with most, if not all, of these. They are an expression of the love that we have, one for another, that will attract people, as Jesus said we should be, a picture, perhaps, of the church in Acts 2:42. Street pastors have a phrase that I've come to associate with them. People don't care what you know unless they know you care. But even street pastors, though they go out, don't proclaim and preach the gospel with words unless they are asked. Jesus says, go. Go and make disciples of all nations. So what about out there? What about out there? It was fantastic to see what you guys did yesterday out there. It was amazing to see you engaging with the community. I say you because I wasn't involved directly. I was busy writing or finishing a sermon for today. But where is out there? Our neighbours, on the streets, on the doors, in our own places of work, our own circles of movement, our family, our friends, the marketplace. Do we feel equipped to go out there? What is our language? Our language is one, obviously, of humility and compassion, seeking to reach out, even touch. It's amazing what touch can do, just a handshake or even a hug. Paul asked for prayer that he might preach fearlessly. It is a scary thought to go out there and share the gospel. Paul was ridiculed. He was sneered at. And many called him perhaps a babbler, maybe even a babbling fool. But Paul says in Romans, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, as it is the power of God for everyone that believes." Romans 10, Paul writes as well, how can they know unless someone preaches to them? Wells Place Centre can be known for nice people, a nice place. But we don't just want to be nice, do we? We want to be a people of God following Jesus and sooner or later proclaiming Jesus out there, however uncomfortable that may be. Sadly, I have been to numerous events where people are invited, and guess what? They don't always come. Are we sometimes too shy with the gospel? Have we become reluctant or even scared of what people may think, say, or do? Peter's message about being prepared to give an answer is not about waiting forever to be asked. We need to tell some people before they get round to asking. And that includes the people of Eastleigh. We had the hope turning. There was an opportunity to get out and speak to people. We had the Queen's Jubilee event, which was a great event. But there was no specific mention of Jesus, perhaps not in a proclamation way. Please don't feel these are criticisms, these are observations. What do we feel God is calling us to? There's this phrase, isn't there? Fake news. Fake news, the F words. Finance, failure, fear. Finance. If only we had enough money, then we could solve our problems. Who of us hasn't thought that? God doesn't want our money so much as he wants our hearts and minds and our every being. Everything else will follow behind that. Failure. I am like Paul. I admit cowardice and hypocrisy. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. What I hate, I do. I don't stand here as someone who finds it easy to go out in the streets. And I'm sure if you talk to anyone, as you go out and you encounter people, it's not easy. And I have shrunk back and I've avoided doing so. But God is good. The enemy would have you believe you're a failure, but God forgives all the things that we seemingly fail at. And he lifts us up again. If we confess and repent, we can move up and move on. Fear is Satan's weapon to paralyze us. Jesus promises in the Great Commission to go with us. Faith is God's weapon to mobilize us. We need to know God. We need to grow closer to him, grow in knowing him, and go. We stand on God's word, the work of Jesus Christ, which we shall be sharing in a moment in communion, his sacrifice for us. And we go in the power of the Holy Spirit, witnessing to the love and goodness of God. A vision perhaps for us is to be a people of God, living and loving God and sharing God in this place for the glory of God. Let us pray. Heavenly and Holy Father, we thank you that you give each and every one of us your love. But we also thank you, Lord, and recognize that you also give us, with that love, the responsibility to share that love. Lord, you help us by your Spirit. You go with us. You guide us. Lord, would you help us as we are part of your body, to find our place in that body and to go, to share in this place and in this neighborhood that which you would have us do, to play our part. Lord, would you make that clear to us? And as we seek to know your vision for us, perhaps on a bigger scale, Lord, or whatever is right before you, would you make it clear to all of us? In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.